I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 466, Revenge of the Spoiler. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you feeling?
So, emotionally, I'm like cloud 11.
I mean, you're doing like pretty good. Like, you're having like a great week.
The end of 2015 is pretty good so far for me on the emotional level.
Like on the life, like yep. Journey.
All thumbs up.
Yeah.
Particularly today.
The other thing. Your body is not a wonderland.
It is not.
We'll just say that.
I feel like.
Kids.
My body is melting.
Kids, hard eating, hard drinking. It has consequences.
It wasn't even about the alcohol. I can't even blame it on the goose because it didn't make me loose, is what I should say.
Well, you don't know that it didn't make you loose.
I didn't have any goose. I had no goose.
No, there was goose.
Yeah, but I didn't have any.
Yeah, you did. In the last round of thingies that I made.
Fuck, dog.
There was goose.
Anyway.
So the goose may have you loose. We don't know. We just don't know. But I'm feeling great, so.
And I mean, obviously. Christmas was a couple of days ago. Everyone got in the spirit.
Spirit was high. It was good.
Even though in some places there were flash floods. In some places there were snow, like in Nevada, which is like a weird place for snow to happen. And then over here in East, on the East Coast, no snow.
Yeah. Warm.
It was like 62.
It was like our August, basically.
It was December. A green Christmas.
Yeah.
And some people were like, yay, nice weather. And then some people were like, this is global warming, we're fucked.
Well, here's the thing, okay, as far as Massachusetts goes, because I can only speak for Massachusetts.
Right.
It is uncommon for it to be so far above freezing at Christmas time in Massachusetts. Typically, we've had at least a snow, even if it's just a flurry, before Christmas. And the temperatures are usually closer to the freezing point as opposed to twice the freezing point plus. Okay? This is the first Christmas that I've experienced in Massachusetts in a long time that was, you know, nearly 70 degrees in December. So whether you agree with global warming or science or things like that, we can all agree that it was abnormally warm for Massachusetts for Christmas.
I agree.
Now, with that said, what that means is when the cold does come, it's not going to be pretty.
No.
So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another, guys. But hey, we're not here to talk about the weather. We're not here to talk about what's going on in the world or what's not going on in the world, as the case may be. No, no, no. What we are here to do, we're here to talk about games. We're here to talk about nerdy things. As we told you in our podcast last week, we were not going to talk about Star Wars The Force Awakens then, to give everybody more of a chance to see it, but that this week we were going to talk about nothing but Star Wars and The Force Awakens. And we're going to keep that promise.
Yes, we are.
We are talking Star Wars, and we are going to talk about the entirety of the movie, our own thoughts and speculations, what we want to see happen in the next one, all that kind of stuff. So if you are not ready to listen to this conversation,
completely understand.
But now is the time for you to turn off this podcast and be like, ooh, I'll come back to this episode after I've seen the movie.
Yep. You have been warned.
Seriously. We're not kidding. if you don't want it spoiled, and we can understand not wanting it spoiled, if you don't want it spoiled, stop listening now.
Just stop. Right? So, that said,
we gave you guys a second to leave, so everybody who is now listening wants to be here to listen to all of this. And welcome, and we appreciate you hanging around for what is probably going to be a very nerdy and emotional conversation between us
for the tea
on The Force Awakens. So first and foremost, I have seen the movie twice as of this recording. I plan to see it at least one more time, if not two more times, because I've seen it in 3D, I've seen it in standard definition, and I am now trying to find it in full IMAX. So
wow, bro.
I gotta see it in full IMAX. And then, like, if I could see it in IMAX 3D, well then, brah, brah,
brah, brah. Me at the
Briscoe Villa.
At the Briscoe Villa. Have only seen it once to date right now. We have been talked into seeing it again also in IMAX.
When?
I don't know yet.
Well, let me know.
Well, I mean, we haven't looked for the tickets yet.
Whoa, fix that.
I will. And when I do, I'll be like, we're thinking this date.
And then tell me the time. And I will be like, yes.
Or no.
Get to tickets.
Dude,
as long as it's not like a weekday at like a ridiculously late time.
I highly doubt that.
Then I'm pretty much in.
We're looking to do it because a bunch of the crew have been like, let's see it again. And the lovely Biffle turned to me particularly and was just like, it's your call.
And you were like, all right.
I was like, okay, well, now that I've seen it initially, because that was just more of the nostalgia of yay and like getting.
Wait, it was like pulling teeth to even get you to see it, because I was like, bro, you need to see it because we're going to talk about it. And you're like, nope.
I was like, nope.
You literally turned your nose up at it.
I did. And the funny thing is, so we weren't going to see it at its start. Like, we weren't going to try to see it opening weekend because a lot of people had pre-ordered their tickets last year around Christmas time and had been sitting on their tickets forever. So I thought there'd be no tickets available. And a friend of mine and yours, her boyfriend / fiance / whatever she wants to call him now, his birthday was the 18th. So last minute, he was like, babe, I'd like to get some tickets to go see Star Wars. And I was like, good luck finding them, because I don't think you will. But sure enough, she found them. And that Biffle talked to my Biffle, who was like, we should look for tickets on the 8th. I'm like, you want to do it? You go right ahead. I have my new jobs company Christmas party. Just let me know how frisnickered I can get at the company Christmas party. If we get tickets so that I can, like, level myself out. Sure enough, I don't hear until about 3 in the afternoon that we got tickets. So at this point, I'm already several glasses of X, Y, and Z. And I was like, shit, I have to sober up. Because our show was at, I think we had the 8 o'clock or 8:30. No, it was a 9 o'clock showing and we had to get there at like 8. So, like, I had to sober up at my job, which... I was not great. It was not a great experience. And I was like, well, I'm going to go home and try to sober up and eat some more greasy foods to try to, like, combat. Because I was aching a little bit. Like, I wasn't hungover yet. But, like, but the quakes of it were coming.
Mm-hmm. I could feel it.
So, like, I went home and, like, ate some saltines and some ginger ale and then had, like, several bites of a burger, like, trying to do anything that I could to be ready. And it did not work because we get to our line at about 8 o'clock to sit there for an hour. And our line wasn't horribly long, which I was quite thankful for. Like the 8:15 that was like just starting to go in when we show up was pretty long, but ours wasn't excruciatingly long. And I was like, well, I need to sit. I'm probably going to take a nap in line unless they move us. And sure enough, maybe 10 minutes after we're in line, maybe even 15, they are like, oh, we're gonna let you sit early. So we're like, okay. So we get in our chairs, me, Biffle, and the Czar, as I'll call him. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes, and, yes, I do.
And I take my coat off, and I'm like, all right, well, we've got about 30 minutes of previews, so I'm also going to try to nap now. The minute the movie starts, do whatever you need to wake me up if I don't fully fall asleep. So I nap. And I feel kind of bad because when I do wake up, there's a young teenage girl next to me, and I'm just like sprawled out because I do that starfish thing when I sleep. I just spread out and like suction cup myself to stuff, and like I don't want to move. So I woke up, and the first thing I did is I looked at her, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I had a company party. She's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, my hand was totally like lingering in your popcorn. I'm sure I tried to eat some in my sleep, and I'm sorry. Like my hands, these stranger hands you know nothing about. But literally, when the movie started, like, I thought I was going to fall asleep because, you know, like I said, I'm battling being tired, fatigued, and hungover. And
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And the minute Star Wars came up, because there was none of that build up, like, they didn't do that Fox scrawl thing.
Oh, well, they can't do the Fox scrawl thing because it's Disney now, because Disney owns Lucasfilm.
Right. So, anyway, so, but, like, I think some people were, like, expecting, like, some type of addition outside of that, like, something to fill that, but no, went straight into the Star Wars, and, like, the whole place just dropped in volume, because everyone was ready, and my eyes grew wide, and I actually stayed up and didn't get sick for the whole entire movie.
Well, so here's the thing, so in my first theater experience when I went to go see it, which was on opening day, my boss decreed that we were going to have a team outing that Friday, and that outing was going to be to go see the movie. So we saw it in the middle of the afternoon, so the entire IT department went to go see the movie together as a group, which was awesome. And so we saw it with a full theater. The moment we got through all of the previews, the room fell silent. There was, like, not a sound made. And when the opening music started and the crawl started, still not a sound. The following day, I saw it at another theater because those are tickets that I had pre-ordered earlier when tickets went on sale, when everyone was like, Fandango broke the internet. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I got my tickets for Saturday. I'm all good. I saw it with my husband that Saturday in a theater that was also full. And the moment that the movie started from the crawl, like, the entire theater erupted with applause. So it was just so interesting to see really and truly the difference that a day makes, because I really feel like it was the hardcore diehards that couldn't wait to see it opening day experience versus the casual, I like sci-fi movies and I'm so glad Star Wars is back. And there were way more kids.
Oh yeah, a lot. You're absolutely right. We had a bunch of teenagers in our group, and like we actually got pretty ideal seating for not having like call ahead or whatever. It's like
reserve seating.
But we were pretty much next to like this gaggle. Like I want to say like 12 or more of them.
It was a gaggle of teens.
A gaggle of teens, and they were boys, like with maybe one or two girls sprinkled in for continuity. And we're sitting their center, and we're like off to the right, but still pretty good seating for this movie. And they're just like, oh man, like my dad made me watch 1, 2, and 3, and I thought I was going to vomit. And then he let me watch 4, 5, and 6, and I was like, okay, renewed. So like this has to like be the end all to be all, or like I'll be so mad that I wasted my money. And like we're kind of sitting there like, are you, what, really? You know, and like you could tell that some people came with like their dads who were like super passionate about Star Wars, and like the kid who's just kind of like, dad treated me to a movie and dinner, so I said yeah. You know, and you had a bunch of those. And skipping through the movie, which I know we're going to get into in a minute, but at the very end, credits are rolling and stuff, this one kid, and he had to be maybe 14, stands up, slams his, like, fist down, and is stomping his feet, and he's like, no, that cannot happen. And his father's like, you only have to wait a fucking year. I don't want to hear your mouth right now. And, like, we all laughed at that, because I'm like, that is kind of true, bro. Like, you didn't have to wait nearly as long as the majority of people who came to see this movie. And that's all I'm saying. All
right.
It was It's not about what happened.
All right. And it's 2 years.
But still, like, it's nothing compared to what some diehard, long fans yes. of this franchise have had to wait for.
Which we are about to get into. So
right now.
So The Force Awakens, I will say right now, is, to me, I think, the payback, retribution, makeup, make good, whatever you want to call it, whatever terminology you want to use. But it is the love letter to episodes 4, 5, and 6. And I feel like it's the, yeah, totally are bad about 1, 2, and 3. Even though none of us were actually, like, involved in it. Seriously, though, like, just franchise-wise, are bad. We're just going to give you all the things that we know that you like. And we're going to put them together in like, a cute way. And it's just going to be our love letter to Star Wars to start this off. So all the things that, you know, the moments that you love and the quirkiness that you love, we're going to put that all back. Because I think one of the things for me that made episodes 1, 2, and 3 really unbearable is that there aren't the moments of levity and just the non-serious parts that made 4, 5, and 6 great. 1, 2, and 3 are serious throughout the entirety of their episode.
I've never seen 1, 2, and 3.
And don't, because not. I'll tell you, if you do, you'll look at the rest of the movies and be like, wow, those weren't even remotely close to that. How did anyone let that happen? Because they're completely serious the entire way through. And then when they forced some levity in there, Jar Jar, it didn't fit. It made less than any sense. Whereas in 4, 5, and 6, where there are the moments of Han being flippant and, you know, the droids having their own back and forth argument, and you're only understanding half of it because you can only understand C-3PO, but those moments make sense in the world. They fit, they don't feel forced, and they are, in fact, truly funny. You know, the stuff that, the barbs that Han and Luke trade back and forth make sense, and they fit. And then there is this seriousness that is going on with, you know, the dark side. And that was really missing for 1, 2, and 3. They were just so serious and so focused on the politics and not the things that a lot of people fell in love with the franchise for 4, 5, and 6. The Force Awakens, which is 7, in canon now, definitely fits in and follows the mixture magic of 4, 5, and 6. So I completely enjoyed episode 7. I think Force Awakens is a great way to kick off the new canon trilogy. And I like that they've touched upon some of what was written in the graphic novels and even some of the comics to put together the story. So JJ did a great job. JJ and team did a great job. Everybody that they brought back to reprise their original roles really did, I think, a fantastic job. I can't wait to see what happens next because Leia is about to be pissed.
I mean, I have to give her some credit though.
Who, Leia or Carrie Fisher? Let's be clear.
So, well, for one, props to your spirit animal, Carrie Fisher, because
She is my guiding spirit. She really is.
I love her iconic buns from 4, 5, and Leia. I love them, okay? Like, it was...
You're literally about to say 4, 5, and Leia.
4, 5, and 6. And, like, it's so iconic, and, like, when you see it, like, you just know, and, like, when you get to see her, because, spoiler alert, you see her in 7... Like, this weird braid thing that she's got now kind of reminded me of, like, that fancy butter roll that you can get at, like, a bakery. I know that she's older now, and clearly, you know, fashion trends and hair trends are going to trade. But, like, I wanted to be, like, I'm sure when they, like, told her what they were going to do, like, maybe in the back of her mind she was like, so no buns?
Look, let's be honest, okay? Carrie Fisher was adamant about no buns.
Oh, okay. So, she had like the bread, like the baguette.
Right. But you've gotta throw the right homage. But you know, you're an older woman now. You're not a young woman of 20, and you're no longer
anymore.
And you're not a princess anymore. You are a general. So right. You should have the stylings of a general and not necessarily a princess.
A giant braid, though.
She's a general. She can't have hair all over the place.
No, but she could have like a top knot.
No, she was fucking Princess Leia Organa. You don't have a top knot. Okay, you saw what happened with Padme. Oh wait, you didn't see those movies. Trust me, nothing even remotely like Asian themed. Just get a braid, wrap it around the top of your head like most Nanas do, and just be a badass.
She totally was rocking like badass Nana.
She should. That's the point.
Because
she is a badass Nana.
You know, but also though, like, can we talk real for like a millisecond?
Can we make sure that we like lay down the foundation of the story before we like jump into random parts of it?
Yeah. Okay. I'll wait.
All right. Hold it. This whole conversation is going to be real, but we just got to do it right. So The movie opens, and we are introduced to the First Order, which is basically the remnants of the dark side, the people who are trying to quell the Republic and once again control the entirety of the universe in the name of some dark, shadowy Sith. In this case, it's Snook is the...
But is he a Sith, though?
Trust me.
You know the info more than me. Don't call him, like, Darth.
No, they don't. They don't. Jokes. No, they don't. And they won't. But he is definitely a Sith. And the only reason why I say that he's a Sith is because he has taken Ben under his wing and is overseeing his training to be a Sith. So he must be a Sith master in order to train him as a Sith.
So we see.
You can't just have like some mechanic down the road be like, I can help you out here if you want to be a Sith. The Jedi, I don't even know.
I dabble in the dark force.
I know how the force works. I can show you the push and the whole mental thing and embracing your anger. I got you on that. There's no checklist on how to train a Sith.
And boy, does Ben channel some anger.
Ben, also known as Kylo Ren. All right, so we'll get there. Yeah. So the First Order, which has gotten like really angry and really very Nazi-like.
Yes, excruciatingly Nazi-like.
Like painful at one point. One of the generals is giving a speech as they're getting ready to literally blow up 5 planets. So if you were upset about what they did to Alderaan,
you're not gonna like this.
They blew up 5 planets at the same time. Like, that's crazy. And they killed a star to do it. They killed a sun. Like, that's just evil, man.
But anyway.
All right. So anyway, but the visual at that point, it's so, like, down to the use of concrete, black, white, and red, and the symbol of the First Order on the banners, and everybody wearing black and then saluting as they blew up the planets and all the life on the planets. I was like, wow. We're not even remotely trying to shy away from...
It's like symbolism. No, this is just straight up literary.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep. They are the Nazis. You basically... okay. All right. Well, you embraced it. Okay. So now we all can really, really hate these guys because they're space Nazis.
Yes.
Okay.
And so here's our established bad guy. That's great. So they have to obviously show us who our protagonists are. And here we go to, and I'm going to mess up the name of this place, even though they say it like 80 freaking billion times. I kept calling it Djibouti.
And Jakku. Jakku.
Jakku. So here's a pretty much a barren desert
like planet. Tatooine.
Very similar. And here is this
figure
in wrapping clothing, kind of pilfering and like scavenging these old ruins and wrecks of ships, which clearly, if you look at them, they're all iconic to big battles that happened in 4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
Primarily.
Yes.
Maybe even some from the 3 I don't know about, but I didn't resonate to those. And we get
they're primarily 4, 5, and 6.
But we get our protagonist, Rey, who is female and is totally just trying to get her rations every day.
Yep, she's just scavenging. Her,
she's got to scavenge and bring stuff to this guy who I believe, by the credits, was Simon Pegg. The guy who's all like, I will give you this many rations.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. And you see this exchange of her just trying to eat. By the way, that whole trick with, like, that goop and then, like, the little water turning into, like, a puffy bread roll. I was like, that looks really good.
I was like, no, not the moldy bread. Don't eat the moldy.
I got hungry looking at that turn into bread. But anyway, so you have that going on. And then you have literally not too long after this establishment, you see the First Order kind of come down hard on another character who I guess is kind of like a sub-protagonist.
Are you talking about Poe?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you see that, like, in the scroll text, you hear that, you know, the general has sent her best pilot to, like, recover some really important shit because Luke has been after the events of 6.
Luke is AFK.
He stepped away from the keyboard.
Luke is away, much like Emily.
Yeah.
Luke is away.
good time.
See what I did there? I made a game joke.
And since he kind of disappeared, this is where the First Order was like, hey, the Jedi's not around. We could totally, like, dominate and take stuff over, which is what they've been trying to do.
And then they got hooked up with a Sith, and the Sith was like, yeah. And they're no Jedi, so we're unstoppable. Except they got lined up with a whiny-ass Sith. But please continue.
So the whole point that they're trying to... The premise of what seems to be going on in 7 is that the Republic and the revolutionaries are trying to find this bit of information, which...
Everybody's looking for Luke.
It's rumored to be a piece of a map that's supposed to direct people to where Luke is. Because they want Luke to come back and, like, fix everything.
The good guys want Luke to come back and fix everything.
Because things are kind of getting fucked up.
The bad guys want to kill Luke.
Well, they want to find Luke, too, so that they can kill him. So... It's like what's that movie? Suddenly Seeking Susan or
Desperately Seeking Susan.
They're desperately seeking Luke. Like, both sides want Luke for whatever their purpose is. Some is to help restore balance to the order or force, if that's what you want to call it. Other people want to kill him because he could, like, mess up their shit and, like, ruin their party, and, like, they don't want that. But anyway,
because he's, like, the most powerful and also quote unquote last of the Jedi.
Right.
We'll get to that.
Like, right. So, but you get Pope's establishing kind of character.
Poe.
Which is Poe.
Not Pope.
He's essentially like the Han Solo, I think, of this generation. Like, snarky, witty, like, trying very hard to, you know, not, you know, be overrun by the most whiniest Sith to ever Sith.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you get your first transaction or correspondence with Kylo Ren. The minute I heard him, I'm like, are you trying to sound like Darth Vader? Do you, like, were you just that nerd in the basement who was like, man, Darth Vader's the man. I want to be like him when I grow up. I'm just going to start sounding very, like, trying to sound bad and try to sound like I have no emotion. But don't get me wrong, Kylo Ren has some serious skill, but he also has a lot of rage.
Yeah, so, and that's one of the reasons why he's able to, you know, be on the dark side. So, the introduction of Kylo Ren basically shows him to be an uncaring, unfeeling thing. Definitely somebody who could carry the old mantle of Darth Vader, right? Because at the end of 6, Vader actually turns to the light. He is
somewhat redeemed.
Is somewhat redeemed. Okay, and is able to...
Party with the Ewoks.
Yeah.
And Luke.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan and Yoda.
As his Jedi self. So he's able to redeem himself. Because remember, Darth Vader, previously Anakin Skywalker, was a Jedi. He walked the path of the light until he switched to the path of darkness.
And if you're an OG, then you saw the original ending where it was the older Anakin that we saw and not the...
Yes, and they need to re-release those versions of the movies because I refuse to buy any versions of 4, 5, and 6 currently that, because they show right, Hayden Christensen, which is just completely disrespectful. So anyway, so you know that he changed just before his death and went back to walk the path of light as a Jedi to have that moment of reconciliation with his son, which is a beautiful thing. And it helps Luke get on the path to become an even more powerful Jedi, knowing that he was able to make that connection with his father and all that kind of stuff.
And at the end, kind of.
And that his father chose him and his sister and the light versus the dark. So it is a very reinforcing thing. Kylo Ren is on a much different path. Kylo's path is one where he is trying desperately to gain more power because he believes that he is powerless, and the only way that he can achieve the kind of power that he really truly wants to have, he must go down the dark side path for that, not the light side path of that. But he struggles with it because of his lineage and previous teachings. So like I said, we're going deep, we're going hard on this one. So Kylo is actually Ben Organa. He is the son, or Ben Solo, depending upon which one you want to pick, how you want to go with it. But he is Han Solo and Leia Organa's son. And he is named after Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, that's right. His nickname was Ben.
His name is Ben. Not his nickname. His name is Ben.
Oh, okay.
He is Ben Solo.
Right. No, no, no. I meant Obi-Wan.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Like they called him Ben.
Yep.
So, okay.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah.
So,
man, what a name to have to, like, try to live up to. Holy fucking shit.
And so it is revealed that Ben went off for training because Leia did not become a Jedi. While she was strong with the Force and could sense it, she really thought and felt that she was better served and her purpose was to really lead the rebellion and help build the Republic. And that's where she would really be of use and help to the universe, not as a Jedi. So that's why she didn't pursue the Jedi path. Luke did, though.
Yeah. Okay.
And so Luke ended up training some children that he found and that other people found throughout the universe that seemed to be strong with the Force, along with Ben, and was going to rebuild the Jedi Order. Because remember, at the end of 6, Luke is it.
Yep.
Because Yoda's gone, Ben's gone. Luke is now the actual last of the Jedi. And so the Jedi need to be reformed in order to help restore balance to the universe. Some shit goes down. We're not privy to all of it yet in the movies. But some shit goes down. Ben goes ape shit and wipes out basically
the other Jedi
in training under Luke. And takes on Luke, obviously doesn't kill Luke, but
obviously rattles him, frazzles him a little bit.
And then goes off and starts down his path to the dark side. Renaming himself, he becomes a Knight of the Order of Ren, so he becomes Kylo Ren. And they really are the fist that kind of holds together the First Order. So, when your mom's Leia Organa and your dad's Han Solo,
like, you have some pretty big shoes to fill.
Which will probably lead to you having some mommy issues, daddy issues, and so
being emo is all fucking get out.
And taking it out on the universe. So Kylo's journey right now is trying to commit to the dark side. Like, and the weird thing is that he has Darth Vader's burnt up old helmet.
That he worships like a freaking idol.
He does. He talks to it all the time. And what really bothers me about this is, well, two things.
One.
At the end of 6, when Vader is buried, he is burnt. Like, everyone gathers.
Like Viking,
send him off and burn the body and the suit to a crisp. And it's after that ceremony happens, when they're having the celebration, that you see Anakin as a Jedi ghost.
Right. Hanging out in the ghost swamp.
You know, the Jedi afterlife. Chilling with Yoda and Ben. Watching over Luke. Okay, so even when a Jedi is gone, a Jedi's not gone.
No, it's just his physical body.
They can still communicate with you. Kind of like when Aang went into the Avatar state and could talk to the other Avatars. If you ever watched Avatar, The Last Airbender.
No, but
okay, but it's kind of like that. You can still kind of communicate with the ancestors, those that went before.
You're all still connected.
Okay. And you even hear it in the movie. There's a section when she gets the lightsaber, when Rey finds Luke's lightsaber, the voice that you hear is Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it is Ewan McGregor as Ben guiding Rey to the lightsaber, which I thought was cool. So one, it was burnt to a crisp. That fucking thing was plastic, so it melted. Like, there's no way that that helmet would stay in that kind of condition and have any of the bone structure in it.
For anyone to recognize whose helmet that was.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, so that's bone pick number one. Bone pick number two, one of the things that Kylo keeps saying is, you know, grandfather, I need you to show me again, you know, show me that what I'm doing is the right thing and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's trying to get the affirmation. But here's the thing. The Jedi, as far as I know from canon, other movies, are only light side Jedis and are only typically talking to Jedis. It's not like they're constantly in a Sith's ear going, man, don't do that. Don't do that. You know that's not right. Like, that's not... So...
Right.
What vision could he possibly have? Unless he's, you know, talking about a vision that he was given when he was under Luke's training that he misunderstood. And because he went down the path of the dark, Anakin can't talk to him.
Like, it didn't make any sense to me either because of the end of 6 where you saw Anakin as, you know, Jedi Anakin. Like, it's not like he died Darth Vader. He died Anakin Skywalker.
Correct.
So, I just thought, I'm like, oh, he just found this helmet and he's
inventing shit in his own mind?
Yes. He's so unstable. Because, like, you could clearly tell with him that he is conflicted in his path. And he constantly struggles with being shown the way. So, clearly, he's having that struggle with the light and the dark. And that's, like, kind of his thing. And even if Anakin had died Darth Vader, I definitely think, or rather I've been discussed about this at length, that, I mean, the thing about Darth Vader was he was a Sith of fear. He imbued fear and relentless destruction, but it was poised. It was controlled.
Yep.
Controlled fear. And Kylo is not developing into that, like, he's tapping into more of that anger. And I'm not saying that Darth Vader didn't have anger, but that wasn't the presence that Darth
had. No, it was his fear of not being able, like, the way the movies lay it out, it was his fear of not being able to protect the one that he loved, which was Padme, above all else, that drove him to his darkness. Like, it was, you know, Palpatine who was like, well, in your anger, actually, you caused them to die. And that's the moment that Anakin has his moment of recollection and goes, well, I have nothing left to protect. I have nothing left that is good or pure in the world because the woman that I love and my children are gone. So fuck it. I'm just going to destroy everything. Like, that's what led Anakin to, you know, take up the mantle and become Darth Vader. And that's why, you know, once he realizes that he has kids, like, things start to slowly change. It brings, you know, Luke back and starts to do his training. And when Palpatine starts whooping that ass because he won't walk down the path and he's sitting there watching Palpatine, like, rip his kid a new one, where he finally has the moment of, like, this is completely not right and this is not my path and it's fear holding me here.
But I'm just saying, like, and what Darth projects out, like, his Sith essence is just invoking fear.
Yep.
That was Agreed. That's his staple. That's his staple. And Kylo Ren's is pretty much pure, uncontrollable rage. So while
is
he has
it rage or is it envy?
Because I mean, he has like what? Like 8 tantrums in the whole movie? No, I'm just kidding. It's more like 3. And like some of them are set up for more of a comedic effect, but they're also there trying to establish to you what his essence of his dark force is.
All right. And that's why I asked the question, because is it anger or is it envy?
I mean,
I think it's envy.
Because, I mean, he might have been envious that both of his parents were far more successful and stuff. And that
he could not attain the power that his teacher had and that he would not be able to surpass his teacher.
And it could be masking as rage, unbridled. But he's not, there's no control over when he has his Because they're pretty much tantrums. Like, every time he had one, and I wanted to, like, put him over my knee and whoop him. I'm like, will you just get over it?
Because I've had this conversation about, you know, his driving thing, and I will fight tooth and nail that it is envy because it is not controlled. It is a childlike lash out where if you're angry, you know what the thing is that's making you angry, and you are focused on that thing that makes you angry, and you deal with that thing. Everything, every choice that you make, the words that you say are all around that thing that has made you angry or the people that have contributed to that anger. When you are envious of something and envy is your driving thing, envy can out itself in a multitude of ways. Anger is one, cunning is one, deception is another, but it is not focused. It is all over the place. It blows up, it erupts, it pops out, it sneaks out when you don't even expect it to.
So actually you make a very valid...
So I think that Kylo is actually driven by envy. I think that he got to a point where he realized that either some of the other students would surpass him when he was training under Luke, that he got to a point that he would never be more powerful or felt that he could not be more powerful than Luke. And that's what drove him. Because, like, one of the things that happens in the movies is he gets very, very obsessed with the girl, as people keep calling her, because right, they don't know her name throughout the movie, because Rey is really keeping a lot of the First Order people from succeeding. Because First Order troopers shoot much better. Right. It's not just her. It's also Finn. We'll get to Finn in a second. But he gets very, very focused on, like, the girl. At one point, like, he hears, like, oh, yeah, you know, 2217, whatever the fuck Finn's number is.
Yeah.
Is, like, he got away.
Not act alone.
He was with a girl. And Ren's reaction is, what girl? Like, completely not focused on the stormtrooper that's turned traitor.
Or rather, is waking up.
Right,
rather.
But as far as they're concerned, because we're dealing it from Kylo's, you know, angle right now, the traitor is focused on the girl.
Right.
Right? Because I'm sure that he has felt that somebody got away from the Jedi training, and that it's a girl. And that's why I think he's like, what girl? Right. And he wants to know about it. So then you go along in the movie, more things happen. There's some great fighter battles. The friendship, the bromance, I will call it.
Oh man, everybody's calling it the bromance. People are shipping them so much and want them to be like...
Between Poe the fighter, Finn. And Finn, which is great, because you have to have a little bit of a bromance. Again, for the homage, you got, you know, Han and Chewie, and you got, really, Han and Luke as a bromance. In 4, 5, and 6. Han takes Luke under his wing.
Yeah, you're right.
The damn kid.
Yep.
Okay? Right. And then eases up when he realizes that the kid is Leia's sister, and he's like, oh, phew.
It's cool. Well, I mean, like, that whole, do you love him? Yes. Oh, well, then I'll just go leave you alone and go, no, he's my brother. Like, and, like, the fact that he took that pretty, I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, you related?
Oh. All right, so I'm in like Flynn, or like Han, as the case may be. Even through the bromance stuff, which is a good friendship and some great levity, I think John Boyega brought great, great excitement to the role. I love everybody, the way that they were cast in this movie, but I think one of the things about Kylo is, and why I say that he's driven by envy, and not fear and not anger, although those end up showing up because of the envy, is he gets super, super tantrumy when things don't go his way. And it's not...
Kylo Ren, baby.
And it's not a focused anger at one person or one thing. It's just a, like, two-year-old tantrum.
Yeah.
That he then comes back and is witty. And why I say envy is the thing at most is when they have the lightsaber battle in the woods. When he first starts fighting with Finn, the stormtrooper who has awoken from his programming and is not going to kill.
Well, like, he had gone out at Jakku, and, like, they got the order to pretty much clean the whole area. And this is where Rey gets away. And the stormtroopers are doing their thing, and they're, you know, taking women and children and old dudes and everybody.
You mean Poe gets away?
Oh, yeah, Poe. Sorry. Poe gets away, and, like, they just clean out the whole area.
But Poe doesn't get away, though, because they capture Poe and they torture him. But anyway.
He tries to get away.
Yep.
But anyway, they're killing everybody else on Jakku. He sees Finn sees a stormtrooper get shot, and he goes running over to him, which is not something you generally even see ever happen. And, like, he touches the dude. He, like, has blood on his hands, and then he streaks it onto his helmet. And, like, that's from the moment that he starts to, like, and have, like, his, like, panic attack that kind of jolts him out of his programming.
Yep. And I just went, oh, that's so we can easily identify which one is Finn. Because he's the only one that's literally been marked by death, so, as far as stormtroopers go. From the moment that the big fight happens that starts with Finn and with Kylo, the first thing he does is scream traitor.
Right. Yep, you're right.
Okay. Like, you betrayed me. And so it is not necessarily focused anger, but it's the first time that it's been focused in one direction while he's having to deal with him. And then when he lights up the lightsaber...
While we're talking about that, let me ask you this, as you are, like, my resident, like, go-to on these facts.
Use.
Finn has the ability to use...
To wield the lightsaber. Yep.
I thought only people who were Force-sensitive...
Mm-hmm.
Could manipulate lightsabers. Is this true?
So, it depends on whether or not JJ and his team are going strict canon or not.
Okay?
Because here's the thing. Movies 1, 2, and 3 kind of fucked everybody's Christmas. Because in 4, 5, and 6, it was only these special people who were in balance with the Force could be a Jedi or could be a Sith, and they are the ones that could wield lightsabers and you know, use the Force if they had enough training and of the mind and of the spirit, right?
Right.
Then 1, 2, and 3 came along and introduced, well, actually, anybody who has a high midichlorian count in their blood can actually tap into the Force. Uh-oh. And it fucked everybody's Christmas, because we were like, wait, 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 then it doesn't mean that everybody's special, it just means everybody has to go and have the blood test?
Right.
Right? So I don't believe that JJ's team are doing anything revolved around the midichlorians.
Okay.
So I do believe that they are going to be focused on those who are special.
Okay.
Can wield.
I think when this came up, because I was like, wait a minute, like, I always remembered, you know, Darth Vader had one, Luke mm-hmm. had one, Obi had one,
Yoda right,
had
but, one. But not everybody in the world could wield a lightsaber.
Right.
And that's correct. Not everybody in the world can wield a lightsaber. You do have to be strong with the Force. I know where you're going. I'm gonna pump your brake for a hot second.
All right.
Okay, because you can be strong with the Force, you can be able to tap into it to some ways, but not necessarily be a Jedi or a Sith. General Organa establishes that.
Okay. All right.
Okay? So I know where you're going, and you're like, whose kid is this?
No, it wasn't even about that. Like,
no, but you know, another like, Jedi possibility. And that, right. that could be where they're going, but I think that it's more likely that he's going to be another person like Leia that is strong with the Force that can tap into it. But you know, that's the reason why he was able to have an awakening versus the other stormtroopers that were on Jakku. Because you have to believe not everybody wants to be a bloodthirsty killer. So why weren't there more awakenings? Well, if somebody was...
Maybe if the Force was tugging at him.
Right.
In that moment of weakness was able to...
To get through and wake him up.
Okay.
So I think that that's where they're going to go with Finn. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I would love for me to be wrong and, like, at the end of all of this, like, he ends up being a Jedi like Rey. Like, I'm all for that.
Okay.
But I'm not going to be crestfallen if that's not the direction that they go and he ends up being like Leia.
Well, I mean,
Leia.
Like, they kept teasing a little bit during the movie. So, I mean, like, at that time where Rey gets that call... Like, that thing that's leading her down into the basement of that,
to
like,
to find Luke's
thing.
Lightsaber, yep.
And then, like, and I can't remember her name, but the one with the eyes, with the goggle eye things.
Yeah, it begins with an M.
So, like, after she, like, runs away, and she's like, I'm not gonna do this! And, like, this is not my life! And, like, runs off and has her girl moment. And she's like, you know, that creature gives him the saber. It's like, you need to give this to her. And then, like, you know, he's so fixated on blasters and, like, isn't... Like, he's so unaware of his potential, it seems. So you start getting awakened in so many different ways. Like, he wakes up from the programming, and he's waking up to being a human again. And, you know, all these sensations and, you know, probably that potential hint of possibly having a thing for Rey, because the first thing she did at him was look at him in a way that no one has ever looked at him before, which is kind of weird because the first time she looked at him, she was, like, ready to, like, blow his head off with her, like, staff. And if that leads a man to, like, want to be with a woman forever, probably in the universe, well, then, damn, I've done it wrong. I just need to start giving snark face to people and whatnot. But, like, and then, like, he's sitting there holding it. I'm like, either he's going to show up with it at the right moment or they're going to, like, tease us with this possibility. And, of course, they clearly did that. And, like, when that whole battle happened, when he was able to, like, fight with it, I was just like, but I thought... maybe, oh, people are going to be so mad. If that's it, like, some hardcore people are going to be kind of mad at that. And then I'm like, oh, great. So then you have two potential, like, light force-driven individuals of opposite sexes just repopulating the Jedis, maybe, and the universe. And I'm like, I was happy about that notion, but I know I'm daydreaming. And clearly, you know, I have some issues that I need to resolve in myself. Because if I'm ready to ship them already without the rest of the movies, then clearly I'm trying to cling to something. But can we talk a little bit about how fast Rey developed, since we're kind of getting into that part of the movie now?
Yeah, so we can talk about how fast Rey develops, but here's the thing that I'm going to, like, sprinkle on top of this. Okay, the movie is called The Force Awakens. Okay, and I believe that it's called The Force Awakens for a bunch of reasons. You have Kylo awakening into his path of the Sith. You have Finn awakening to his path away from the First Order. And really, what he's meant to do, which is to be friends with Poe and be part of the rebellion. You have Rey awakening to being more than just a person existing waiting for her family to come back, but actually finding her destiny and going through it.
You have R2-D2 awakening from, like, a 80-year slumber.
Yes, you have that. So there's a lot of and you have, ultimately, Luke coming out of his stupor at the end of the movie when Rey finds him. So there's awakenings for everyone. And to get through all of that in one movie, there's something that has to progress pretty quickly. Because here's the thing, as far as progressing down the path of the Sith and progressing to understanding that she can actually access the Force and that she has that, both Kylo and Ren progress at the same speed. Like, Kylo can wield his lightsaber and things like that, but he's not yet committed really to the path of the Sith until he makes the decision where he stabs his daddy.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, so, and that was a fast progression.
And mind you.
I saw it coming, but still it was a fast progression.
I saw that happening a mile away. And the thing was, and the thing that really kind of tipped me off was when Rey gets her interaction with Chewie and Han. It's kind of a miracle that she finds the Millennium Falcon and knows all about it and manages to fly it and get it to this other location.
Right, and then that's,
get stopped.
That's supposed to be the thing, in all honesty, the mechanism for the viewer to go, wow, she's something special, right? Because, right, like, she's been surviving in the desert all on her own. So that right there has to tell you that she's a pretty resourceful chick, which means she's got to pick things up fast. She's strong because you physically see her, like, bouncing around the insides and things like that.
Right.
So it's not so much of a leap because she's been, you know, going through these ships and pulling their parts apart and scavenging for these things that she would have a inherent understanding of, like, how they go together and theoretically work. But the reason that, again, she's able to do stuff with the Falcon is because it's the Force guiding her. It's not just her innate ability.
I was never not acknowledging that she wasn't special.
Yeah.
But the minute that they started interacting, like, there was this quick sense of bonding. And for me, I'm like, there must be something that there's this strong sense of familiarity between Han and her.
Yes.
And, like, him not wanting to open up and be, like, it's him awakening to his own senses as, like, a human and with emotions and whatnot. And his acceptance of, you know, the fate of, you know, his son.
One, because he misses his son and regrets, you know, not being able to keep him in the path of the light.
Like, that bond just fusing them together. I'm like, and she has like no family, and like you could see her warming up and like wanting to absorb all this stuff. I'm like, and what plot device would literally pull her into the plot more than that beautiful, pure, innocent establishing bond is taken away, not just taken away by just some random person, but by a similarly aged blood relative.
Yeah, your flip like side equal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they're perfect foils to each other, which is, you know, and Abram's pretty awesome with that type of stuff. He's always kind of been on point in my mind for that. And as soon as that happened, like for one, like during that whole walking up, I was all like, don't do it, Ford. Like, I wonder if Harrison Ford was like, we're really going to do this? Like, I'm not going to, like, magically just pop up out of, like, a sandworm?
Here's the thing. I am like, almost 100% sure, like, that was one of Harrison's stipulations for doing it. It's like, there's got to be something meaningful for Han to do, and it can't just be me being, like, cool out in space, because I've done that already. Right. And I think that JJ was like, no, actually, we're going to do something really dangerous. Hopefully, It'll pay off. And people won't hate me for the rest of my life, but I think that it really will pay off. And I agree that it does. You know, I think that you have to have those quick progressions. Because here's the deal, right? If you read any of the graphic novels, like, you know that both Luke and Leia have children.
I did not. So.
Yeah. So Luke and Leia have children. I think Luke has one. Luke actually names his son, so this is where it's like kind of canon but not canon. So Luke has a son named Ben Skywalker. So he carries forward the Skywalker name, and Han and Leia, their kids have the Solo name. Han and Leia, they have three kids, a set of twins, and then an older son named Anakin. So they have Anakin, Jaina, and I forget what the other one's name is, but it begins with a J as well. Jaina and, oh, it's okay. Right there. It's on the tip of my tongue. Like, make me so mad.
Taku.
Jason. J-A-C-E-N. Jason. Jason and Jaina. Okay. And then here's the deal. They are not all walking down the path of the Jedi. There's some slip-ups throughout the path. So I think that's kind of like taking a little bit of pre-existing canon, but really and truly like making their own story and telling their own thing. Because I think it's really interesting to have Ben be a Solo and not a Skywalker and have basically, this is what I think is going to happen. There are a lot of people that think that Rey is one of the kids that was in training and was supposed to be in training with Luke to be a Jedi.
Okay.
And that Ben didn't get all the kids. That somebody was in the process of getting to training and was not there when Ben went apeshit and basically wiped out all the other kids. And so the belief is that Rey was one of those leftover kids, and that because Luke was just so full of shame for not sensing and stopping Ben from doing basically what Anakin did, when he wiped out all the Jedi in training, decided that he was going to scuttle this one remaining student off someplace where they would be safe, away from Ben, all that kind of stuff. The other thought is that all the same is true, except that the child, Rey, is actually Luke's daughter. And that was another reason why he put himself into isolation, is because he knew that if he was anywhere near his daughter, he would want to be near his daughter, and that would put her in danger again.
Do you think that she would have also sensed it? Because, I mean, like, Darth and Luke could kind of sense each other. Ben could kind of sense Han, even though, you know.
Well, I think, yes, because at the end of the movie, when she gets the coordinates, thanks to R2-D2 waking up.
And BB-8.
And BB-8. Filling in the hole, when she goes to the planet to find Luke, who's basically in Ireland. That's what it looked like to me.
He was like on a board.
He's totally chilling in Ireland. But when she finds him, they have like a moment of recognition, because there's not a word that's spoken. And then she inherently goes and grabs his lightsaber and points it at him. And if you remember when you watch the movie, you see that she's tearing up and starts to cry. Like, she's home, and he starts welling up in his eyes. So whether she has the recognition or not, I think he does. So I think the setup is going to be that it's going to be that Rey is Luke's child. And so the ultimate battle is going to end up being a familiar one once again. But this time, instead of father and son, and vicariously daughter, father and son, it's going to be the cousins. And it's going to be Leia's son versus Luke's daughter. That's what I think is about to go down. And that is some ultimate family issues dinner. Because ultimately what's going to happen is the family member who has walked down the path of the dark is going to have to be brought back to the path of the light somehow. And man, oh man, does Ben have a hell of a path to come back from in stabbing his father. But I think the movie does a really good job of introducing characters that each have their own story, because the Star Wars movies have always been that. It's not just Luke's journey. It's always been, you know, kind of these vignettes of all of these characters' journeys in the story. So you had Han and Chewie doing their thing and having the hijink stuff with Leia, sometimes without Leia. Then you had Luke on his journey doing his thing. Then you had the, you know, Rogue Squadron leader doing their stuff with Admiral Akbar and the whole, you know, Republic fleet. So you never had Star Wars be focused singularly on this one person's story. So they've always been multi-lead characters, multi-protagonist leads, if you will, stories. And so they need to continue that. But I think that they've really lined up some very good characters to do this with, because now in these next movies, you've got a mother who has to deal with a wayward son that killed the love of her life, father of her child. And then it's one of those things where I'm like, all right, so are you guys going to be like completely off canon in that Han and Leia had twins as well as Anakin? And so since they've made Ben their one son, I think that this is the way that they get out of having to have the twins and go draw the graphic novel canon. So you've got that as one piece to wrap up. You've got Finn figuring out who the hell he is and realizing, oh, damn, I got a little force in me too. And here's the thing. I have a feeling that Poe does as well. And that's why he's a ridiculously good pilot.
Okay. That would be quite interesting.
I think that Poe has some force abilities that are latent. I don't think that he's Jedi material, but I think that Poe has some. And that's why Leia is so protective of him and focused on him and him being okay. Like, of all the fighters that, you know, gave their lives and things like that, when Finn shows back up and is introduced to Leia, before he even gets to be like, hey, I got some information about this planet killer thing that they've got, she's like, I have to thank you for rescuing and bringing back Poe and finishing his mission, and you're an amazing person for, like, doing that.
And I think, saving that information and keeping his droid safe.
I think that, you know, as part of that conversation, when she's, you know, really making that deep eye contact with him, I think she's picking up on his force and his being tapped into the force as well.
Maybe.
So I think that what is going to happen is you're going to have a bunch of people who are touched by the force, and you're going to have a Jedi, if not two, either in the form of Rey and Finn or just Rey. But I think I want for it to be both, because yeah, Finn can use a lightsaber. Not everybody can fire up a lightsaber.
So Rey's progression in terms of how quickly she was able to use abilities. Because I know that the glasses lady was like, you know, if you just stop and listen, we're all enveloped by the source and it will guide you and blah, blah, blah.
And which is almost the same damn line that Yoda gives Luke when Luke goes off to Dagobah for his training, which is completely accelerated as well. Yeah, and is not completed because he has to go. Like, literally, he learns how to, only with Yoda's help, because he's not able to do it actually fully himself, to try and get his ship out of the bog. Okay, he's only been with Yoda for a little while, and he's not able to use the force to pull his ship out. And he's like, it's never going to happen and all that kind of stuff. And Yoda's the one who pulls his ship out so he can get back on his ship and head back to his friends. But in that time, somehow he's gotten strong enough to use a badass lightsaber to go up against Vader. So Luke's progression was also super accelerated with little training. But at least he did have a Yoda to be like, go into the bog and fight yourself and then you'll figure some things out.
No, she just, all we get from her is, oh no, I'm strapped to this thing, and Kylo Ren is trying to force his way into my mind, like, mind rape, and she's all like, no! And he's all like, what? Like, no one says no to my mind rape, and, like, gets all mad, and then, like, well, I'm just gonna let you sit here and, like, think about your actions a bit.
Well, I think...
And she's all like, you're gonna let me out of these things. What am I gonna do?
Wait. Like, I'm gonna stop you right there. So, a couple things. I think that the difficulty with the mind battle thing, because yes, Rey does progress very quickly, but mostly what she progresses in are a couple of Jedi mind tricks, right? Which right. The mind tricks were the first things that Ben showed Luke to get him to believe in the Force, because he didn't initially believe in the Force, okay? But they were also the first things that he picked up, because I feel like the mind tricks are like the parlor tricks for, like, magicians. So, like, the card trick and, like, the rabbit out of a hat, like, those are the first tricks you learn.
Right.
Like, they're, like, Jedi 101. So I think, like, they're the low man on the totem pole things. So you don't need a whole lot of training to figure it out. You just have to be really calm and get your breathing down.
But, I mean, it's not like she heard Kylo Ren use it, though. So, like, here she is strapped, and she's just like...
But you gotta remember...
a moment where she, like, listens to the colors of the wind, and then magically is
but
like...
But Panda, it's... Well, the Force is kind of magic, but... You gotta remember that she has grown up listening to the stories about all the Jedi. Like, when she mentions Luke, she's like, Luke Skywalker? Like, the Skywalker? Like, she's grown up and knows those stories. So you know that she's heard all about using the Force to Jedi mind tricks. Like, they're a known thing in the universe. So she knows of them and of their core, like, what they're made of. It's just now she actually can tap in the Force if she really focuses to pull them off herself. So I wasn't as upset with the mind trick one, because I'm like, well, that makes sense, and you got to get out of it. And so here's the mechanic for you to do a mind trick with no training.
Okay?
Because Luke had no training in a mind trick, but he used that shit all over Jabba's joint.
It's like, I said not to let him in. He said to let him in. He had important stuff to... Ah!
Right? Like...
True.
And you never saw Ben or Yoda teach him. So I feel like that's like a low-level trick that you don't have to be taught so much as understand that you can use the Force and be focused with what it is that you want to do. And eventually you'll hit it. And it's not like she got it on the first try either.
Right. She didn't. And that makes for some really good comedic timing.
And also that was Daniel Craig.
I know. Someone told me that. I'm like, no way.
Yep. They're
like, yeah. I'm like, really? They get
that was Daniel Craig. Yep.
Yep. Because
he's a massive Star Wars nerd, which is awesome. Okay, so I'm not as upset about that one. Really, I'm not upset about any of Rey's progression as far as her Jedi stuff, because if she is Luke's daughter, it makes complete sense. Okay. That she would be inherently, naturally, that far along. Because that's the thing. And why everybody was after Luke was because he was so in tune with the Force. It was, like, off the scale. That's why Ben had to fucking come out of retirement to actually go and find him and take him back from his aunt and uncle.
Right. You're right.
So, like, it makes sense to me that she's just... naturally so in tune with the Force, she just needs the guidance to really take advantage of it. So I'm not upset about her progression at all. Like, and I'm not, I have no issue with, like, Finn's progression from his awakening through all of his stuff. I'm not mad that Han died. I'm upset. I had the feels. I'm not gonna lie. I got all cryy when he died, but it was a touching one. And I will just end with this. Like, I think that they have done a great setup to reintroduce Star Wars to a lot of people who have really missed it in their lives, to introduce Star Wars to a new generation, to excite them about a new trilogy, and hopefully get them excited enough to go back and watch 4, 5, and 6. I'm sure they'll end up going back and watch 1, 2, and 3, and I apologize for that, but to really kind of jump into the story. And I have seen someone already float a alternate theory out there about Ben, and that's why I keep using the name Ben and not Kylo Ren, because I really want it to be true. It's probably not, but I really want it to be true. You know, because one of his big conflicts is that, you know, he talks all the time about still being pulled towards the light and you know, being torn apart when he's talking with his dad, because he's like, I know what I have to do, but I don't really want to do it, and can you help me? And so there's a guy out there who surmised that, you know, maybe the vision that Ben had when he was younger from Anakin, previously Darth Vader, was that there was going to rise another evil, and he would need to be the one to fight the evil from within. So he would have to become a Sith so he could get close enough to Snoke so he could take him out. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get close enough to Snoke would be to walk the path of the dark side. And the only ultimate path to the dark side is to kill someone you love. And so that's why he's constantly like, I'm being torn in so many ways and I need you to help me and I know what I have to do, but I don't want to do it. Because he ultimately doesn't want to kill his dad, but has to because he's going to be on the side. I'm like, I really like that, and I wish to God it was true. But I'm like, we need a total bad dude, and right. Snoke is only part of that. So I don't think it's true, but I really want it to be true.
I mean, it's kind of weird,
which is why I keep calling him Ben and not Kylo, because I'm like, I want you to not be an asshole. I want Han's death to mean more than just you becoming a Sith.
But that line doesn't make sense because at the end of the movie, like when the whole like, oh no, the thing that we wanted to do failed and we have to retreat to like Snoke's like freaking base, which is
Snoke orders the general to go get Anakin and bring him to him.
Yeah, for his final step, which I thought was him killing his dad.
Well, because his final training is going to begin. So he's killed his dad. So now he's literally going to be at the right hand of the Sith guy.
Okay.
Because Snoke has kept him at bay all this time and has only communicated through hologram.
All right.
So that's why I was like, it's a brilliant theory. I really like it. Man, oh man. And then that would be the way that, you know, your mom would kind of forgive you for killing your dad? Because it was to save the universe?
Well, I'm just saying, like, all of a sudden, like, you saw them kind of warming back up and I'm like, oh man, yeah. Old people love. And then, like, when everything went down and, like, Rey comes out and they kind of have that quiet stare down while everyone else is celebrating because they have nothing to celebrate. Or rather, they have something to mourn over. And I'm just like, oh, man, like, that sucks. Like, they just were finally having, like, those moments about, hey, like, I still, you know,
yeah. I still love you. I know. Like, still the pimpinest ass line in a movie ever. Harrison Ford is the man, and I hope that he at least is involved in the next movies as part of, like, flashbacks. But
oh, man, me too. But
Force Awakens, really, really good. For me, personally, makes up for 1, 2, and 3. I can't wait for 7. Not for 7, for 8. Roman numerals are not my friend. I can't wait for 8, but I have to. We got a 2-year wait before that one comes out. But there is a comic line that's going to run in between these two movies, so there's a lot more Star Wars to be had. The mania is not going to die down. If the box office is any kind of proof of how it's doing just fine. And it's a good time to be a nerd again, guys. Thanks for listening to our spoiler-filled episode of our podcast. If you like this podcast, then make sure that you subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can also find our podcast on your iTunes device, either on your desktop through the iTunes application or on your iOS device through the podcast application by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. You can also find our podcast on VogNetwork.com. You can find it on Google Play. You can find it in Stitcher Radio. Pretty much anywhere that fine podcasts are able to be searched and found, you will find our podcast. So make sure that you subscribe wherever you feel like subscribing and ensure that you will get the brand new episode of our podcast the moment we put it out on the web for your consumption. If you like our show, then you should also check out all the other shows and all the other websites for everybody in our network. That's bcrew.com, that's issuesprogram.com, that's smashrook.com, that's thestructurenetwork.com, and it's also soon to be launched, nerdcrave.com. They're for every facet of your nerddom, whether it's fighting, boxing, TV shows, recaps, comic books, manga, anime, video games, console games, mobile games, just
games,
peripherals, technology. If it is nerdly entertaining. Trust us, somebody in the network is geeking out about it, and now you've got a home that you can enjoy all of it at. So make sure that you check out all of our affiliate sites, like them all, subscribe to them all. You'll have a better day, I promise. You can interact with us on social as well, because we love hearing from you guys. So hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. Also follow us on Twitter at ESH News. We share all kinds of content that both we create as well as things that we aggregate that we are enjoying reading ourselves. So make sure that you check all that out on our Twitters and on our Facebook. Ask us questions. If there's something that you want us to review or talk about on a show, pop us a message on the wall there and we'll include it. And we'll give you a shout out on the show if we end up doing it. So, you know, get your like 15 seconds of fame or whatever.
I'll give you more than that.
What? No, girl, you crazy. So, it's a time in the podcast where I get to give out an award.
Oh my god, is it for me?
It is for you. This week, best performance by a dramatic fanatic goes to Pandalicious.
Oh my god. So, I want to thank all the hours I spent on Wikipedia and the Britannica encyclopedias, so I have all the information for everything that I want to know. Also, I like notebooks, so I can scribble all my facts and all my little factoids and all my little reminders about facts that I get to share with people all the time. I also want to thank the people on the buses and trains and taxis that I literally just inundate them with these factoids that get annoyed with me because it just makes me want to find more interesting factoids about X, Y, and Z to share with people. And I also like coffee because it keeps me motivated and energized.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time, folks,
keep it classy.